that consumer is going to reach out to a merchant, just like you or I would if we had a loss or a damage with our package, because we're going to tell them we either want a refund or we want a reshipment of that. And that merchant is going to file a claim with us. They're going to take care of their customer. And as you said, they're quickly going to be made whole for the full invoice value of the item that they sold, plus the shipping cost that was incurred.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by Little Data, the e-commerce data platform for modern direct-to-consumer brands. Little Data has been bringing server-side tracking to Shopify stores since 2017, and their focus has always been on helping brands to get accurate data automatically. Stores like Rothy's and Athletic Brewing use Little Data to capture first-party data and send it to the tools they already use, like Google Analytics, Segment, and Facebook Ads, plus connected data warehouses and reporting dashboards. The first thing merchants notice after installing Little Data is their Google Analytics data is now accurate and 100% complete, from marketing channels through to one-off orders and repeat purchases. Their e-commerce data platform hums in the background of your store, sending waves of information like events, purchases, subscriptions, lifetime value, and more, so you can make data-driven decisions with data that you can 100% completely trust. It's honestly a breath of fresh air for brands who have been working with bad data and confusing analytics, or trying to build segments and lookalike audiences without having the right data to power them. Now, Little Data is a no-code solution, and they now have a 30-day free trial on all of their plans. They also offer free data consultations with their analytics experts. So make sure you check them out today at littledata.io. Well, hey there. My name is Steve Hutt. I'm Senior Merchant Success Manager here at Shopify, and welcome to the fifth season of E-Commerce Fastlane. Now, whether this is your first time listening or you're a weekly subscriber, I seriously appreciate the fact that you're taking time today and listening to the show. I know there's plenty of podcast choices in Shopify, kind of direct to consumer and marketing and anything to do with e-commerce in general. And just the fact that you're here means the world to me, and I know it does for my featured guest. I'd also highly recommend to get the full value of today's episode that you click through from your podcast app to the show notes. They'll be at ecommercefastlane.com. And there you'll find the show transcript, links, and then all the resources that we mentioned today. Now, today's episode, my guest is Jared Haas from UPS Capital. And I would call him probably the product champion, I believe. And there's a brand new app. It's called the InsureShield app for Shopify stores. And, you know, you think about inflation and supply chain challenges and kind of all the staffing shortages we all know about. Shopify brands really don't have time to handle all the shipping mishaps that can happen, including porch pirates, which we're definitely going to get into in a few minutes. But today we're going to learn how the InsureShield app for Shopify can significantly improve your conversion rate. I'd call it brand affinity, your brand loyalty, just the overall post-purchase experience, and as it relates to shipping protection. And you will learn a lot about from the brand's perspective and also from a consumer's perspective. So it's quite interesting. So hi, Jared. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hi, Steve. Thank you so much for having me on today and giving us this platform to speak about our app.
Absolutely. So we all know who UPS is. I'd say a lion's share of a lot of the brands that are listening, you know, use UPS as their primary shipping carrier. Labels are printed by UPS and they're quite happy with that kind of service. But I think a lot of people may not know about the other divisions inside UPS. And one of them I know is the UPS Capital division, and it kind of, its org spreads out a little bit wide too. So can you talk a little bit about that? Can you share with our listeners more details about this new division? Wow. I guess not new, but just another division of UPS called UPS Capital.
Sure. It's pretty new in the grand scheme of UPS, right?
Okay, that's fair.
Been around for 115 years.
Yeah.
Celebrate his birthday here in August.
Lovely.
So UPS Capital is the shipping experience and insurance division of UPS. So really what we're doing, as you kind of already said in the intro, is we're trying to help SMBs especially anticipate and overcome shipping setbacks. Porch piracy is something that you mentioned, but parcel loss and damage is certainly a part of that. We know that shipping is that critical touch point for a lot of these e-commerce merchants, and we're here to try to make sure we can protect it.
Yeah, and that's lovely. And that's one thing about this app and stuff. We're going to talk specifically how it works and why. It's such a great customer experience, but it's also a great brand experience. So I want to talk a little bit about the origin story, because you mentioned, well, UPS has, you know, just had this big birthday, and then and the Capital Division is a little bit, I guess, newer overall in the grand scheme of things. But like, how did all the pieces come together? I'm just fascinated how brands continue to expand themselves into other areas of need. And how did this InsureShield shipping coverage app even come to fruition?
Yeah. So UPS Capital, I mean, capital's in the name. So we started out as a financial services firm in the late 1990s and really transformed in the early 2000s as more of the risk mitigation partner of UPS. And now we service over 19 countries and territories around the world. What we really rely on is working with our insurance product and educating small to medium-sized businesses on their potential risks when it comes to shipping. I mean, the nice thing about being a part of a company like UPS is we understand logistics first and foremost, but understanding what can go wrong within a supply chain and making sure that we work with companies to mitigate that risk early on to try to make sure that they can be made whole again when a loss, a damage, or a porch pirated item may occur within their supply chain. So that's really where we kind of hit our stride as a business. And where the Shopify app really comes from is what we've been trying to do is meet our customers where they need the insurance. So we know that a lot of small and medium-sized businesses are using Shopify for their e-commerce websites. And we want to be able to provide that insurance in a place where it's easy to access, as well as where they're going to need the coverage. And the nice thing about the app for us, just because I like to get this out there early when we're talking to any type of customers, is just because we're UPS Capital doesn't mean we only cover UPS. We cover FedEx, DHL, USPS, all the carriers that you're using through Shopify can also be covered through our app with all risk insurance.
Right. I noticed that too. I did a little bit of research kind of before recording today, and it's interesting, some of the brand. I just did some internal reporting, and I went to a couple different brands and had a look, and it's very interesting how they display, thanks to the app, about, you know, giving people the option to be able to, and a recommendation engine. And I love the fact that it even has, you know, this is, you know, powered or offered by UPS Capital, even though in this particular case, it was one brand I'm looking at, they don't offer UPS as their main carrier option, but they still have the app installed. And it's so interesting, they're giving the end consumer the opportunity to be able to say, yes, I want to have coverage. And it's very elegant the way this checkout flow works. So kudos to the UX team on the app and kind of how they're doing it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it took a lot of time, obviously, but we want to make it as user-friendly as possible.
Absolutely. You mentioned porch piracy and stuff like that, and I'm sure you probably have a lot of stats. I mean, I don't know specifically. I know there's a lot of memes, and there's a lot of YouTube videos and of people's security cameras and things online you see, and it's pretty hilarious, some of the things that people attempt to get away with. I just would love to understand, you know, the porch piracy is one side of the challenge that you're solving for brands or end consumers by having an insurance product to cover them for these sorts of things, but maybe you can talk a little bit wider on top of porch piracy, maybe get into that a little bit, and then let's talk about just other parts of the business and why this solution is actually protecting the two different parties in the equation.
Yeah. So porch piracy is certainly a topic that a lot of people are talking about these days. And it's not new, but it's just occurring more often, or it's on the news more, whatever it may be. But I think the stat is last year, there were 210 million packages in the U.S. alone that were stolen off of people's doorsteps. So, yeah, I mean, basically that ends up to be like two for every household that's receiving these packages on average. So, and you bring up like the videos. We have people within our company, employees within our company, that have been able to share videos with us of people just coming up and stealing something off their porch. So these things definitely happen. And there's more than just porch piracy, certainly, that are pain points. Obviously, there are going to be lost packages. You know, some people may think that it was stolen off their porch, but it actually was delivered to the wrong address. What's going to happen in that situation? if you don't have some type of insurance backing you. Damage packages, when your customer receives the item that you ship them and it's damaged, what are you going to be able to do for that customer? And I think that a lot of e-commerce shippers have to deal with that situation on a daily occurrence, where they have to decide whether or not they're going to reach into their own pockets and pay back their customer or reship that shipment, or if they're going to take a bad review because they don't have coverage right now. So it really works on both sides. So I think that Amazon really kind of set a new standard when it comes to shipping and return policies. I think a lot of consumers feel as though that it should be a very easy process for them to just say that something was lost or was damaged and get a refund or a reshipment back. But at the end of the day, that e-commerce merchant is going to take a loss if they're sending that refund. So we want to be there to make sure that we make these merchants 100% whole again and make sure that the end consumer is taken care of.
Yeah, that part, you know, definitely Amazon certainly has raised the bar with their Prime side of the business. You're right. And, in making a seamless kind of return or exchange, procedure. Amazon, once again, market leader in that again. It is one question I always think about, though, about the default insurance. I know this solution through the InsureShield that you have through UPS Capital, it's either a consumer elected product or it can be a brand can choose to protect packages on behalf of their customers because they want to maintain a certain amount of brand integrity all the way through the shipping cycle for the things you just mentioned, the lost packages, the damages, wrong delivery. There is going to be some default insurance, I believe, that is set in USPS or FedEx or even UPS just on their own. Can you contrast it a bit about what are the extra benefits people get than maybe the $100 default, and what happens if one of these things, loss, damage, or porch piracy happens on the default insurance from the carrier versus what people are getting now if they choose the InsureShield product?
Steve, you are bringing up my greatest passion right now, which is talking about carrier liability. And that's really what that coverage is called. A lot of customers, when we're talking to them for the first time, will call it insurance through the carrier. And that's just not the case. It's not insurance. It's not underwritten. And it is what carrier liability is every carrier has to give some type of coverage to their shippers. And like you said, most people will know it maybe for being free for the first $100. And then they declare a value for anything over that $100. Declared value is different from insurance in a few ways. That carrier liability coverage is only going to cover you when the carrier has been deemed negligent in the loss or the damage of the item that has been shipped. And actually, as the shipper, it is on you to prove them to be negligent. So you can imagine the strain in that type of situation. When it comes to porch piracy, which is a subject that we've been talking about already, that has taken place after a successful delivery. There is not a carrier that is ever going to pay a claim back once they've made a successful delivery. So, and carrier liability only pays you back for a replacement cost of the goods, not the full invoice value, and it will never pay for the shipping cost that was incurred. These are the big differences between our all risk insurance solutions. And there are more, but those are the big ones.
That's good clarity, because years ago I had a contact lens and eyewear company, and we didn't have the option back then to get extra insurance other than maybe if it was a $500, bunch of contact lenses going out. We would maybe pay the extra $2 or $3, but at the end of the day, it was like pulling teeth trying to go through the process. At the end of the day, it's the end consumer that we have to maintain. It's like, hey, they bought some contact lenses, they didn't get delivered. No one knows where they are, or they were stolen, or whatever the deal is, but the customer doesn't care, right? So here we are going to have to reship it again on a very expensive order of $500 or whatever it is, and then pulling teeth for multiple weeks trying to get the money back. That's a nightmare. And I know that's not the case with InsureShield.
Yeah, I think that's another great point that you bring up. Even when a carrier liability claim is paid out, even when a carrier pays out a claim on a shipment, generally it takes quite a bit of time. It can take weeks or months. But let's be fair, carriers are doing a great job for the most part of getting your items to the end consumer. They have mishaps at times. That's why people like us exist. But they're not there for the claims experience. That's not what they're built for. But that is what we are built for. That is our customer.
So let's talk about this experience, because I think the other part that's unique about this, and this is kind of some of the research I've done, is that there is this consumer elected insurance feature available. And so I'd like to talk about that first. And then I want to pivot over to maybe if a brand chooses to not have this sort of feature on their website, that you're allowing the Shopify merchant to then decide if they want to pay themselves, pay extra to cover this package, because that's the experience that they want to give their customers. So let's talk about the consumer elected feature first. Yeah.
So when merchants register for our app, for our insurance app, they have the ability to really choose three different consumer facing options for the way they want to present it to their consumers. The first one would be that they can leave it defaulted on, meaning when a consumer gets to the checkout cart, insurance will already be toggled on. It will show up in their checkout card as a line item. And in order for them to not purchase that insurance, they can toggle it off. They do always have, as the consumer, the right to choose whether or not they want to purchase the insurance. We also have the ability to have that toggled off in case a merchant wants their end consumer to physically press the button to decide that they want to have insurance. And then I think you kind of already spoke to a differentiator there too, which is if you as the merchant don't necessarily want your consumers to pay for the insurance, but you do want to show them that all the items that you ship out are insured through the InsureShield product, then you can show them at checkout that you have purchased the insurance on their behalf. And something similar to like a value add of free shipping that can be available for them.
Yeah, I took a couple screenshots of a couple brands. Like I said, I did a little research kind of early on here. And there's one particular brand that I'm going through. And I just, there's the UI part. So the customer experience part is excellent. They've made the choice here. It says required. Would you like to add shipping protection? And that's yes, protect my memories. And that's recommended branding, and says, no, don't protect my memory during shipping. And then I love the part at the bottom where it says, 124,290 people have done this, whatever this is. This could be yes, protect or no protect, but it has to be toggled to continue on to the next workflow. At the end of the day, it looks like this brand is making the choice saying, hey, it's a very small amount of money for full coverage. You're buying something that's worth, in this case, upwards of $400. You don't want it to be lost, stolen, damaged, whatever the case may be. Very small amount of money, in this case, like $14, is fully covered up to $1,000. So it's quite interesting that that's how that side works. Let's talk about the merchant side. Like, you mentioned a little bit about the fact that the merchant makes that it can make the decision in the app if you don't want it customer facing. Like, why do some brands choose that? Because you would think that, hey, like this brand is saying, hey, it's either yes or no, and let the customer choose to pay it. Could they still have that option on, but then still in the back end make their decision upon fulfillment if they do want to cover it themselves?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I think it's the biggest differentiator that we have right now is we give you the option to put that in your checkout cart. Number one, so there's some awareness on your consumer side, but as well, they don't want to pay for that insurance for whatever reason. If there's only the checkout cart insurance, and your consumer toggles that insurance off, if you don't have protection on the back end, you as the merchant are going to have to self-insure. So what we do is we have back-end business rules that can work with that consumer checkout cart. So let's just say there's an instance where the consumer does toggle that cart off. They do not want to purchase the insurance. You can select rules on the back end to say that you either want to insure all of the orders that your consumer does not purchase insurance for. You can do it by order value. So you can set a value mark at over this dollar amount, I will insure all those orders. Anything below that that my consumer does not purchase protection on, it does not need to be insured. That is your choice as part of the customization of this. You can also do it by your product SKUs. So you can select certain products on your store that you want to make sure have insurance regardless of your consumer purchases it, or you can do it by geography. So, and really the way we bake that out is maybe you want to just have your international shipments insured if your consumer does not purchase it. But really it just allows for all that customization. But what it does is make sure that as a merchant, you don't have to make a choice if your end consumer doesn't purchase insurance to tell that consumer, hey, we're not paying you back. And now I have this one-star review that might come in from my consumer because we didn't take care of them. Or that you have to come out of your own pocket to either refund or reship that order.
Today's episode is brought to you by Little Data, the e-commerce data platform for modern direct-to-consumer brands. Little Data makes it easy to get accurate sales, marketing, and customer data in the tools you already use, like Google Analytics and the new GA4. But doesn't stop there. They also power audience building and better retargeting with LTV data and subscription integrations like Recharge and Smarter. See how other brands are crushing it by using Little Data and get yourself a free trial 30 days by visiting littledata.io. All right, that's good clarity. Thanks for sharing that, because I just wanted to kind of understand that. That sounds like to me like the ultimate workflow of give the option, but then come up with the business rules kind of in the back end. Geography is very interesting to me from an international perspective, wanting to make sure that things are covered, because a lot of times some of the addresses don't even have like numbers on them. They're just names only. And it's just sometimes it's very strange where things are going. Yeah. But people want no to doubt. Get these, you know, if the labels are able to be printed and the carriers are taking the money for this thing to be shipped out and that's the correct address, you just never know if they actually got it or not. But this is good coverage. You know, one thing, I'm going to be devil's advocate just for a quick second, because I know that if you, other than the carrier, which you've kind of made some clarity about what you get from the carrier side of the default quote unquote insurance. But, you know, when you do a quick search kind of in Google or go into the App Store right now, there's other, I guess, carrier protection, shipping insurance type solutions that are out there. And I think you've alluded to a little bit about some of your differentiators, but can you just share, just for ultimate clarity now, but what is uniquely positions, you know, your solution, this InsureShield product, versus maybe some of the other solutions that are available in the Shopify App Store or directly just by Googling, you know, shipping insurance?
Yeah. So those back-end business rules that do work in conjunction with that checkout cart are pretty unique in this space, to be quite honest with you. Generally, you have to choose the checkout cart feature, or you have your own merchant-based back-end business rule insurance. With being able to use those in conjunction really gives you a lot of flexibility. Another thing that's unique with our app is how quickly you can change those preferences as you're moving forward. So we have a customer that started out with just the consumer checkout cart. They did not want to insure any shipments if their consumer did not purchase at the checkout cart. And after they had a loss that was not covered because that consumer did not purchase insurance, they were able to go straight to the app, edit their preferences, and then add insurance when their consumer doesn't purchase it. And that happens within a matter of a minute or two. So that's very nice as your business is changing, as you see where your risk may lie. You can change those preferences at any time. I also think that our claims experience at UPS Capital is something that's paramount here. We have 24/7 access to file and manage your claims through your claims portal within UPS Capital. And you know, the fast payment processing, you know, which is typically, you know, it's days, not weeks anymore.
And that's not what I've experienced in the past for my optical business. It's just like literally it's multiple weeks and multiple follow-up and just like just overall poor experience. And I'm glad that you guys have solved that kind of problem from either side. And so it sounds like at the end of the day, it really is the merchant's responsibility, though. If the consumer pays for the insurance or the brand elects to add it on the back end through business rules or manually, in the end of the day, your customer is going to be emailing saying, hey, my package is not here, or it's damaged, or whatever the case may be. They know they've purchased the insurance, or they're just saying, well, now what do we do? At the end of the day, the onus still is on the merchant to go into the portal and take care of that process. Is that correct?
Yeah. And a lot of our merchants really like that fact, rather than maybe having a consumer file a claim on their own, because it keeps them part of the process. It allows them to handle customer service the way that they want it to be handled. And it also allows them to quickly take care of their customer in the way they want to take care of their customers. And then we'll take care of the merchant in the back.
That makes sense, though. Yeah. I mean, you're right. If you just start deflecting it off, like Teflon off to somebody else for them to do it, it feels like you're really disconnected in the whole customer experience and the customer journey. I mean, at the end of the day, they shopped with you. So you as the brand need to take care of them. And it's great that you have this portal. You take some responsibility. But the thing was, the actions can happen quickly and the payout happens quickly. In the meantime, you know, as a brand, it sounds like the workflow is, hey, if it truly is a parcel that's lost, damaged, porch pirate, whatever the case may be, at the end of the day, we need to reship out, but the brand must feel good knowing that there's going to be a settlement, regardless if there's a settlement or not. You still got to take care of the customer. So you're going to ship them out something, you know, a replacement product for it. And then waiting for the few days to less than a week for UPS Capital to kind of resolve the claim. So is that typically how the workflow would be?
Yeah, typically, as you said, that consumer is going to reach out to a merchant, just like you or I would if we had a loss or a damage with our package, because we're going to tell them we either want a refund or we want a reshipment of that. And that merchant is going to file a claim with us. They're going to take care of their customer. And as you said, they're quickly going to be made whole for the full invoice value of the item that they sold, plus the shipping cost that was incurred.
Okay, that's awesome. I'm going to do a pivot now because I want to go into a story now, because I think I've done a bunch of research and I hopefully don't put you on the spot here, but it would be great if we could, you know, we obviously have shared customers both on Shopify and now you as being an app partner with the InsureShield product. So I'd just love to talk a little bit about what motivated any particular brand you can think of that's, you know, notable on our network and why they made the choice. I mean, it sounds pretty normal why people would want it, but we have so many people listening right now who, hey, I don't have shipping insurance on my packages. And yes, I've taken lots of phone calls and shipped things out and the default insurance option is really not working for me. Or I have expensive products. There's so many different use cases here. I just would love to hear a story. I think that might motivate some people to say, hey, I can put myself in that person's or that brand's shoes. I see why they made the InsureShield choice. So love to, hopefully don't put you on
the spot. Well, Steve, I heard you saying that you were on a website a little earlier in this conversation. You said something about insuring memories. Is that what I heard? That brings up a company to me, Legacy Box. Is that the website that you're on?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm on actually right now.
Very unique, right? When you say insure memories. So Legacy Box, yeah, they've been a longstanding customer of UPS Capital. And what they do, just for anybody out there that doesn't know, it's really cool. They help preserve people's memories by digitizing photos, videos, whatever it may be. So with that, customers are going to have to send their photos, maybe VHS tapes, whatever that, you know, wherever those memories are stored, to Legacy Box in order for them to digitize. And it's very hard to get people to ship these types of really priceless mementos without some type of peace of mind. So honestly, we had to get pretty creative. And I think that's part of the reason why Legacy Box really wanted to partner with us, is because we were willing to. Because how do you put a price on somebody's memory? You know, it's not considered necessarily, you know, tangible merchandise. But we were able to come up with standard pricing, or I should say standard coverage rates, and a standard amount of coverage that we were going to offer to their customers for this. And I think that it's really helped them. I think, as you said, you know, talk about all the people that have protected those memories on their site, kind of not a push, but just to show that they do have backing with UPS Capital. It's truly a partnership.
Looks amazing. It really is really well executed. But I could see, like, in so many industries where this is going to be something that people actually want. I can see the memories, because you have to do send your analog and digital, you know, pictures and videos and stuff to them first for them to do their work to digitize them. I can see that part of it too. But I also think, like, you know, I think like electronics, I think of like high value, I think jewelry, I think there's lots of accessory things that are very expensive that are being sold online. I still think there's a lot of other verticals, more than just in this case, these priceless memories being shipped to Legacy Box. I think there's other opportunities for UPS Capital and this InsureShield product. Are there any verticals that you see that are also quite notable that seem to adapt to this sort of service offering?
I mean, we insure companies that ship anything from bags of coffee grounds, which doesn't seem like it would be, you know, that much of a damage risk, but everything's risky for loss. Everything's risky for horse piracy. And, you know, we've seen big boxes get dropped on small boxes before, right? So everything can be damaged. I mean, really, what it comes down to is it's companies that really want to insure by insuring their customers' experience, right? Just like they want to ensure that they have a great shipping experience, because that's part of the customer journey when you make a sales in e-commerce.
Yeah, and definitely tracking the order along. I mean, yeah, there's all pieces of that tech puzzle about just the notification that your order's placed, your order's now shipped, your order's now arrived. There's lots of, even like, you know, through emails and text messages and push notifications, there's a lot of things in the post-purchase experience. This is just one more added layer that I really think is interesting. I wonder about the pricing side of it. You know, I don't know if this is a more of a kind of a sales question, but it's interesting to me about when someone gets the app and added on, how does a merchant make the decision on how much they're going to charge based on the value of the product and the coverage? Is this all part of the onboarding process to saying, hey, your average order value is $500, you're selling iPhone accessories and da 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 da, whatever it is. I just, maybe you can walk us through kind of how can people, I love the pricing models and kind of how it, the amount of coverage and then the cost to the merchant and or the cost to the end consumer.
Yeah, just to keep it really high level and simple for the way that we do it through Shopify is we have program rates that are already set as a price per $100. So when you look at it, at the end of the day, it's going to be standard for every $100 worth of value on your store, or that purchase value. You'll be able to multiply that price point and see exactly how much it's going to cost you as the merchant if you're using the insurance yourself, or your consumer within the checkout cart.
Okay, cool. And I'm just looking right now in the Shopify App Store. Currently, as of today's recording, it's 80 cents per $100 on express carriers up to a maximum of $10,000 as full coverage. And then you have a 95 cent cost per $100 if it's USPS, United States Postal Service, up to a $5,000 limit with no deductible. So that's interesting. So that seems very affordable. And it's a nice thing about, as you mentioned, like now that you know the cost here, are some merchants making a little bit of extra profit out of the opportunity, knowing that the app is charging this sort of money based on either customer elected or brand accepted coverage? Is there a buffer here, or do brands just charge exactly what UPS Capital is charging? I'd like to understand that nuance a bit.
Yeah, so really the way that that works, Steve, is unless you're a licensed insurer, it's actually illegal to profit off of selling insurance. So our merchant will have, and it's all connected within that,
all right.
Where that pricing comes out through us. So shouldn't right. We might not want to talk about
that. Yeah, I'm just poking the bear.
No, and it's a really good question. And we do things like that with, like, we have channel partners where, you know, that type of thing comes up quite a bit. But yeah, within this legally, somebody might be doing it. That's why I'm afraid to say it, because it's true that they can't be. But there are probably companies that are doing that.
So this app is out in the wild. You know, we're starting to get some great reviews. I'm looking at, like, ironically enough, a coffee company was the most recent one I'm looking at right now. And so it's interesting. So there's lots of people taking advantage of this solution. What's the future going to look like? You have a certain kind of a use case right now and some great features, some great value versus maybe the competition in the marketplace. Where do you see the platform evolving, maybe like a North Star? I guess I would say for 22, but we're in Q4 now, but like into next year, like where do you see it evolving? Is just expanding the reach and awareness for the tool, or is the tool going to expand itself into other parts?
Yeah, so it's really both of those things. I mean, we need to continue to listen to our customers and kind of tweak our app to make sure that we're consistently serving them in the way that they need to be served and making it as easy as possible for them to insure and customize their insurance preferences, however that may be. And, you know, that's the one thing that we're really working on here at UPS Capital, is really becoming that insure tech, making sure we're meeting our customers where they need the insurance so we can help our customers grow. And honestly, that helps us.
That's perfect. So We are nearing the end of the show for today, and you've shared like a lot of knowledge. I think there's a lot of, I wouldn't even say miseducation. I just think a lot of it is like people just don't know what they don't know. Brand owners don't necessarily know until it's a problem sometimes. I think people listening today should really think about the fact of how many customer support calls you're taking about damages or lost packages and how you're handling that workflow, because there is a solution to that problem. And that's what InsureShield has. You have that option of both the customer elected or the merchant can manually elect it through business rules. I think that's quite interesting. Is there any other takeaways that you would like to share with our listeners today?
Yeah, I mean, I do like what you just said about, you know, maybe some merchants don't know it's a problem yet, or they don't really reach out until there is a problem. You know, we always go back to that with insurance. It's, you know, you don't wait to change the brakes on your car until they go out. That's going to be a problem, right? But yeah, and you also mentioned another thing that I don't know that I really got to speak about too much, which is that you're dealing with these customer service issues right now, maybe as a merchant, that are taking you hours within a claims process with a carrier, or maybe, you know, you're just dealing with it yourself. You don't really have that support. We can help give you that time back. I think that that's a key benefit, especially for some of these Shopify merchants that are really doing it by themselves or maybe with one other person, really trying to get that business moving and have so many other things on their plate to try to grow their business. It would be great to have one less thing at the end of the day. But as far as our app, just talking about the new consumer elected insurance is crucial for us. We wanted to make sure that we gave consumers a chance to take power and control over the orders, what they had insured, but while still having those back end business rules that a merchant didn't absolutely lose control, what was covered and what wasn't once mm-hmm. they leave their shop.
Yeah, this is great. So yeah, I just love the efficiency improving. It's one of the things that I always talk about. Sometimes a brand owner really needs to kind of sit back, you know, being the founder of a company, CEO, customer experience manager, whatever it is, you need to really understand of my agents or myself, if you're a small group, just how much time you're actually spending on the post-purchase experience. And you look at a lot of these live chat solutions and CRMs, you know, one of the number one kind of automation tool they have is, you know, the people are asking either on phone, through email or chat is, where's my order? And, you know, usually there's some automation processes there. But I think if you dig even deeper in your tool, if it's Gorgeous or Customer and Gladly or whatever tool you're using for your CRM, I think you'd be really shocked at how many times people are having a lost or damaged product, the porch piracy that's happening. I mean, you said 210 million packages last year. I think that's one of the takeaways that I'm getting for today's episode is that I think hopefully brand owners can take the intentional space today and saying, hey, wait a second, is there a problem here? And then taking control now and saying, okay, we need to protect all this, because if you start doing the math of having to reship just to not get a negative review and then having it not covered, I would be surprised, just because the efficiency gains, a lot of brand owners are probably not doing anything about it. Oh, it's lost. No problem. Poof, send up another one. And no follow-up of even whatever the carrier insurance that may be part of it, versus the simplicity that you guys have now that, no, if something does get lost or stolen, the process is easy. Yes, ship it right away, but go to the admin quickly in InsureShield and process this claim now and get paid out for it. So I think that's really, really interesting to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we've all noticed and we've seen the e-commerce growth, which means that there's more packages in the network than there used to be for these carriers. And with growth, oftentimes comes risk. So got to be ready for it. What are we doing to prepare?
And being in Q4 right now, too, this is a great time right now because there's going to be bargain shoppers and lots of shoppers. I mean, I know there's market conditions right now, but overall, people are out there. I mean, as soon as Labor Day hits, there's lots of sales, and I can see on Shopify's network alone, revenue's going up. There's lots of stuff happening that's quite interesting. So with retail open, too, it's still interesting, the amount of sales that are going to happen for brands. I think this is a great opportunity to consider having this installed now so that, you know, you're both consumer or the brand has that option. Where do you want to send people today? We're kind of wrapping up, but just I'd like to understand maybe kind of like, what do you want as our call to action or our next steps?
Yeah. So if you go to Shopify App Store, search InsureShield, you can click add the app to install. pretty straightforward from there. It's just a few questions about your business, contact information. Then you can set your insurance prep. And once you've received your policy number, that's when your coverage starts with UPS Capital. So charges will apply to your fulfilled orders based on your insurance preference settings. And once you've completed all these steps, you can gain access to our online portal to quickly and efficiently take advantage of features that will allow you to view your policy, file claims, check claim statuses, check your invoices, and make payments. We also have a bunch of resources and case studies. Steve, if you can add those links to the show.
Okay, lovely. I definitely will. And I'm going to make a pretty link. It'll be ecommercefastlane.com/UPS Capital. That'll be in the show notes. That's going to redirect to a landing page, all the details actually directly on UPS Capital. I can have a link also directly to the app and the Shopify app store, so we can check that out there. I just think this is great. I really just wanted to thank you for coming on the show today. Thanks for sharing this. I think this is a very unique episode, because I typically talk about marketing strategy and, you know, acquisition and conversion and retention kind of topics typically. But this is still a necessary piece of a technology stack that I think brand owners really need to seriously consider. I love your differentiator. I love how quickly and the fast claims you have. You have the backing of UPS. This is not some third party company, you know, attempting to get into the insurance business. I think there's that trust that goes along with that. And so kudos to you guys on that. And I wish you tremendous success moving into the future. I just love the fact that it's not just UPS packages, that you do all of them, FedEx, DHL, post office, you do everything all together in one. I just think that's lovely. And just thank you, Jared, for coming on the show and sharing today.
Steve, once again, thank you so much for the platform. Thank you so much for doing what you do and giving us all a chance to hear about all the different topics that you cover.
Lovely. All right. Have yourself a great afternoon. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you personally for being a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company powered by Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.